The Monday night Day, the Base Medrash welcomes everyone to tonight's shiur. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Ilu Nishmas, my grandfather, Zeichu Levracha, who was nifted today, Reb Nissen ben Reb Shmuel, and for Aliyah, for HaChaver, Moshe Mordechai ben Tzvi. Aside from all the programs that the United States of this Medrash has, that everyone hopefully is aware of by now, there's also a Sunday morning program that we started a month ago, Chayesh Mishpat, Be'iyun, 9:30 to 10:45, a shiur from a Dayan after that, pertinent halachas on Chayesh Mishpat that everyone should know. We urge everyone to attend. If you have any more information, please see Rabbi Tzuba. A few years ago, I was in Brooklyn. It was a cold winter night. I was walking with someone. The person says, "Wow, it's cold over here. Up where you live, all the way in Muncie, it must be like freezing. It's like 20 degrees colder there or something." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, I live right near Alaska." Muncie, relative to Brooklyn, all depends on how you feel about it and how much you want to come. Baruch Hashem, for the night Seder, we have the tremendous chus to have a connection to Rezev Smith Shlita, who comes from Brooklyn. He's come many times already. Obviously, it's not such a big deal. I assume we're not located near Alaska. It's a tremendous chus to us to have a connection for him, to have a connection to him. Tonight, we have the pleasure and the chus of having him give us a divrei chizik and serious on how to have a life of Simcha Sater, Rezev Smith Shlita.
Thank you very much. My experience coming here, it's always very warm here, not 20 degrees colder. Thank you all for inviting me and giving me an opportunity to meet Rabbi Yossi. I think the description of him is a life of Simcha Sater. Hashem should help all of you and him in your endeavor to make Muncie the Eretz Yisrael that really that it's destined and it's supposed to be. I met someone a few years ago, right before Shavuos, and he expressed a problem I think that we all could relate to. Shavuos is a Yom Tov that's really hard to connect with. Pesach, we know exactly what we have to do. We have the mitzvahs of the Yom. We clean for weeks in advance. It's hard to forget Pesach. And in the Seder, there's a program. Sukkot, there are mitzvahs. You find the Luv and Esther, and you sit in the Sukkah. So you're constantly busy with the Sukkot. But what is Shavuos? We learn every day. See, so we learn at night, so it's a little extra learning. Is Shavuos a cheesecake and the ice cream? And I told him something interesting, you know. We have a problem understanding what Shavuos is. And the Torah said, like Rav Chatzkel Levinstein once said, that's the only yantiv that you, there's a chiyuv min haTorah to prepare for it. Yemei Hagbalah. And Moshe added another day in fact. I want to tell you, Bez Hashem, just a thought, hopefully we could take Lamaisa from this. In these days, as we hopefully prepare to go into Yom Tov, but more importantly, that the Yom Tov should go into us. You know, there's a big machlokes in the Gemara. What's the program for every Yom Tov? Should one spend his time learning and davening? Should it be Lashem? Or perhaps is Yom Tov Lachem? Naisudis? And there's a machlokes what to do. But the Gemara says, but there's one Yom Tov, Hakol Moedim Dibiyinim Lachem. There's one Yom Tov that you have to have a good Suda. And if you don't have the good Suda, you're not Yoitza. And I would stop and ask you, which Yom Tov is that? Which Yom Tov do you have to have a good meal? So I would think maybe Sukkot, maybe Pesach. But Shavuos is all about learning, so Shavuos definitely doesn't need the Suda, the festivities, because it's all about learning. And surprisingly enough, the Gemara says just the opposite. It says the Gemara, Psachim, Daf Samaches, Hakamoidim debatzeres beina nami lachem. Shavuos, you have to have a good suda. Shavuos, you have to enjoy the suda. And the question is, isn't it logical just the opposite? A day of giving the Torah, we should learn Torah the whole day. What's more important than learning Torah? So the Gemara explains, my timer, why do you have to have a good suda? Yom shenitna by Torah. Today a Torah was given. But it's perplexing. That's exactly why we should be learning on Shavuos. Why do we have to have a suda? What's more important than learning? I want to ask you another question, Rabbi Yisrael. The Gemara says a chagiga dafei. There are three things that Kaviyochel, the Rebbe Shem cries about every single day. One of them is Almisha Efshe Lasik B'Torah Ve'Eina Oisik. He's able to learn and he doesn't, which we can understand the terrible pain that the Rebbe Shem feels. And the second one says the Gemara, Misha Efshe Lasik B'Torah Ve'Oisik. He's unable to learn, and in spite of that, he learns anyhow. And the question is, shouldn't that be a reason to rejoice that he overcomes the difficulty and he learns? And why is Rebbe Shlom crying? So the Rashi says maybe that it's crying of simcha, but he says it doesn't fit into the Gemara. I'd like to suggest what I think the pshat, the message of this Gemara, which is really important for every day, for every person that wants to experience a life of simcha satira. But I think now we stand the threshold of Shavuos. I think it's a message that hopefully will take us to Shavuos and beyond. And hopefully we'll understand perhaps a little better what the Gemara in Pesachim, the message of how come Moedim the Batzeres being an Ami Lachem. I have a friend who was a Rav in Twin Rivers for quite a while. And there were most of the Balabatim were survivors. And he used to learn with them. And there was one particular Balabas who wasn't obviously a great Talmud Chacham. But it seemed anything that had anything shaykhis to Chulin, to Elul Treifas, the Perek in Chulin, that was his special, that was his forte. And my friend asked him, like, you know, what do you have with Elul Treifas? So he got very emotional. He says, do you know why I learned Elul Treifas? Said it in Yiddish, but I'll tell you in English. I learned it on the benches in Bergen-Belsen. Because I was a young buck, I was just 14 years old. I just started learning in yeshiva, and the Nazis came, they threw us into the Gehenna of Bergen-Belsen. And I felt so deprived, I felt so denied. I wanted to learn, but where am I going to learn in Bergen-Belsen? And every day there was a new transport of Yidden coming, and I looked, maybe there's a Talmud Chacham, maybe someone can help me. And one day I see a Yid, he looks like something, like a dignified person, and I asked him, maybe you could learn with me. And he says, well, you know, I'm a sheikh by profession, I don't know much, but I do it with Elul Treifas. And he tells my friend, every day we work together, and he would say, and I would repeat after him, and he would say, and I would repeat after him. And then he started crying and said, you ask me why I know Elul Treifas? I learned it in the Gehenna of Bergen-Belsen. How does a 14-year-old boy have such incredible Mesiras Nefesh to learn in the Gehenna of Bergen-Belsen? You know what the answer is? There's a level that transcends Mesiras Nefesh. There's a level that surpasses Mesiras Nefesh, which actually is the strongest force on this universe. You know, we live in terrifying times, that the mere prospect that someone could press a button and he could harness nuclear forces that could destroy a world. There's a concept that we relate to, that there's a press of a button that destroys a world. But in Yiddishkeit, there's a button that harnesses the strongest force in this world that builds worlds. And that's called Simchas HaNefesh. That transcends Mesiras Nefesh. That a person understands and appreciates and cherishes and values what he does. And then from Mesiras Nefesh, it turns into simchas nefesh. And when someone is besimcha, is anything too hard? The Medrash tells us about Rabbi Yochanan, an incredible Medrash. Shir Hashirim on the Pasuk, in Yitei Nishas, Kol Haim Beisei, B'Ahava, Boizi Avuzu Uloi. The Medrash says Rabbi Yochanan was once walking with Rabbi Chia. And as they're walking and they're passing an estate, he goes, that was mine, but I sold it because I wanted to learn. That olive press, that was mine, and I sold it, I wanted to learn. That vineyard, that was mine. That field, that was mine. And as he's walking and he's talking, he notices there's a quiet. So he turns and he sees Rav Chi is crying. He goes, why are you crying? He says, what do you mean, why am I crying? I see you have been reduced to abject poverty. I thought you never had anything. But now you tell me you were once magnificently wealthy. And I look at you today, shouldn't I cry? So Rabbi Yochanan, the way the Medrash describes it, was like so deeply disappointed. He said, that's why you cry? You think I gave it all up? I gave up an estate and a vineyard and a wine press, but I got Torah that was given in 40 days. I didn't give it up. I got it all. And the Medrash concludes with a very moving tribute that when Rabbi Yochanan passed away, the Bnei Torah, the people said about him, Im yitein ish es kolayim beisai, bi'ahava sha'ar, Rabbi Yochanan es ha'Torah, bo'iz yobuzulai. You know what the Medrash is telling us? If you would interview Rabbi Yochanan, he says, how would you give everything up for Torah? He would laugh at you, and he would scorn you, and he would say, I gave it all up. I gave up a field. But look what I got. I got Torah instead. Boys, your buzulai at the mere idea. You think I gave it all up? Does this compare to a word of Torah? Rabbi Yochanan lived a life of simchas hanefesh. And when he was asked, how are you, maisa nefesh? Boys, your buzulai. Because it was simchas hanefesh. You know, I once made a character analysis about this superhuman being called Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says in Brachis, lost 10 children in his lifetime. And I asked you, how is it possible to retain his sanity, let alone to become the great Rabbi Yochanan? In the wake of all his tragedies. But you know what the answer is? B'yahava sha'av, Rabbi Yochanan sa'tayra. Rabbi Yochanan harnessed the strongest force called Simcha sa'tayra. And nothing stopped him. Look at the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chaf Aleph. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, apparently, wait, the Mefarshim point out, Ilfa was even greater than Rabbi Yochanan. And they were chavruses. And they came onto very difficult times. And they paskined, Efes chiloyi v'cha evyoin, we have to stop learning and go find panasa. The Gemara says, Ilfa went to work. Rabbi Yochanan heard the baskol, the malachim talking, that he better stay and learn. And he did learn, and he persevered, and he became the great Rabbi Yochanan. And I ask you, but how is it possible? We're not talking about children. We're talking about an Ilfa who is greater than Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan, that paskin, that it's impossible. How did the impossible become the possible for Rabbi Yochanan? You know what the answer is? B'ahava sha'av Rabbi Yochanan es ha'Torah. The strongest force beyond Mesiras Nefesh is Simchas HaNefesh. That builds worlds. That makes impossible possible. That makes dreams reality. That makes jobs into joys. That makes struggles into privileges. Because he cherishes what he's doing. And it's all a very small price to pay for such a great Torah. And look at the end of Rabbi Yochanan's life. Nothing stopped him. He lost 10 children. He lost all his money. Nothing stopped this superhuman being. But you know what stopped him, said the Gemara in Bava Metzia? When his chavrusa Reish Lakish died, and they try to give him a replacement. And he goes, this is not a replacement. He agrees to me. I want someone to argue with me. And they couldn't supply him with a replacement, and he died from that. Because Rabbi Yochanan was kihem chayenu v'orech yameinu. Torah sustained him. Torah gave him energy to overcome the impossible. That's simchas hanefesh. And then nothing is too hard. But it's not only Rabbi Yochanan. You know, I don't know, maybe it's a little too many years ago. We're living in a world that was built on ashes of 6 million of our brothers and sisters. Our grandfather saw a world destroyed in front of them. And look at the world today. How do you explain such a transformation? You know why there's a Torah world today? Because there are people that are living Simchas HaNefesh. The Yavetz writes in the Hagdama to Hasida, Chei Nafshi, I swear, he says, that the Ness of Kiyum HaUmah, the survival of the Jewish people, is a greater Ness than Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Isn't it so? There was the magnificent Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and the Assyrian Empire. There's not a trace of them. And here we are, Kivsa Achas Ben Shivim Ze'evim. And what is our experience? B'chaldar b'dar, Oim demaleinu l'chaloseinu. We've been tossed from this Churban to this Golus, to this annihilation, to this Holocaust. And here we are today, Torah in all its splendor and all its glory. Because that's Simchas HaNefesh. People picked themselves up and they rebuilt Torah because they knew that there's nothing too hard if I really want to do what I want to do. There are beautiful words. You only say it once a year, it's a pity. If someone has a chush for music, I would strongly recommend making a nice, moving niggun out of these words. I think it encapsulates the success of the Jewish people. We say in the Slichas of Tzayim Gedalia, Nodim v'gam noyim, uvereges sveim. We've been wandering since time immemorial, since we've been a nation. We've been wandering from Golus to Golus, uvereges sveim. We've had an overabundance of difficulties, of tzaris, of churbanos. So why are we here today? Uminoifes sufayich tamid mishtashim. Because we constantly tap into the enormous strength of Torah, of Simchas HaTorah, of minoifes sufayich tamid mishtashim. We find the Shashua in Torah. Mishnah says in Avos, we just learned it yesterday, Paspa Melech Toichel describes the pitiful life, apparently, of a Ben Torah. Umayim de Mesura Tishta, a little bit of water, a little bit of bread. V'aloretz Tishta, he sleeps on the ground. V'chayitzar Tichya. Uva Torah to Omel, he has to work day and night. And what's his lot in life, says the Mishnah? Imata Oisekein. Ashrecha v'toivlach. Ashrecha v'olam hazeh, v'toivlach v'olam haba. Toivlach, I don't know if I understand. But Ashrecha v'olam hazeh, with a little bit of bread and water sleeping on the ground. But there are tens of thousands of eloquent testimonies of the truth of this Mishnah. That it's Ashrecha v'olam hazeh, there are people that are learning and experiencing on a daily basis Simchas HaNefesh. And you say, how do you do it? Sleeping on the ground and eating bread and water. And they'll say, Bois Yavuzulai. You call that Mesiras Nefesh? That's my greatest joy in life. I wouldn't do anything differently. That's Simchas HaNefesh. Walk into a Beis Medrash, I'm sure in this neighborhood also,
5 o'clock in the morning, you'll see hundreds of alabatim learning. No one, they're not giving shiurim, they're not preparing for a shiur. What's the reason? What's prompting them? That's me. Noifes sufayich tamid mishtashim. Rameh Shapiro used to say, when we think about his accomplishments, the impetus that gave him so much encouragement was a statement of his mother. His mother lived in terrible poverty, and very often they didn't have what to eat. And once the younger Meir Shapiro noticed that his mother spent an exorbitant amount of money to pay for his malamed, his private tutor. And he challenged him. He says, "Mama, we don't have what to eat. Why do you spend so much money for my Rebbe?" So she said these words, "Oy, du verstehst, you don't understand. It's a kleine carbon, fas a groisse teure. It's a small price to pay for such a magnificent Torah." And he said, whenever he came to a difficulty, whenever he came to a brick wall, whenever he came to insurmountable odds, he looked at it and said, "Das ist a kleiner Karben, was a große Torah." And he ultimately succeeded. That's Simchas HaNefesh. Once met Rav Shmuel Lishon on the street. Because you have to hear the story. He was involved with a camp for Russians who were not even yet Bali Tshuva. They were first being exposed to Yiddishkeit. He just came from Russia. It was like a few years ago. There was one boy who came from a family that was assimilated over 100 years ago to the extent he never heard of the concept of Bris Mila. In the middle of the summer he was told about a Bris Mila. He didn't have it. And he says he has to have a Bris Mila tomorrow. He's not waiting. He waited 17 years. It's enough time. So he called up a Moyal. "Okay, tomorrow I'll have the Bris." That night the Moyal calls him and says, "I'm sorry, we can't make the Bris tomorrow because, you know, you have to have anesthesia. And I couldn't secure an anesthesiologist. We'll have to wait another day." He goes, No. "I'm not waiting another day. I waited 17 years. It's enough." But the Moyal says, "You can't. You're an adult. I can't make a Mila on an adult." "Because I want the Mila tomorrow, don't worry." And Shmuel Lishon said, how did a 70-year-old boy have a Bris Mila when he was awake? He had four friends of his holding him down on all four sides. And they all five sang the theme song of that camp, "Oy Segut Zayin Ayid." And he went through the meal and they were all singing of Koyle Koyles, "Oy Segut Zayin Ayid." Imagine. Alecha Haragu Kol Hayoyim was transformed into Simchas HaNefesh. The ultimate joy that a 70-year-old boy experiences, "Oy Segut Zayin Ayid." That's the secret of Netzach Yisrael. That's why we're still here today. Because there are people that their whole life is a continuous, never-ending shira, an expression of "Oy Segut Zayin Ayid." And then you think about what Rav Moshe once said. Why is it that thousands of Jews came to America in the early part of the last century and were lost to assimilation? It's because their parents were Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, but they complained, said, "Oy, it's a sheretz as I need. It's hard to be a yid." And it struck me, if only they sang the Nigun "Oy Segut Zayin Ayid," who knows what would be today? But my son Bar Mitzvah, one of the Rabbanim, said the following story. He met a Yid, really a great grandfather, and a Yid with a sense of humor. And he says this Yid went to his children and grandchildren's sukkah, and you know, as it is today in America, beautiful, colorful, psychedelic decorations all over. He says, "My father's sukkah was nicer than this." The American kid says, "Zadia can't be it. What's nicer? What do you have nicer than us?" He goes, "My father, you know what he had? Nice sukkah. He had pink slips on the wall." He goes, "What does pink slips mean? Why is it nicer than ours?" He says, "My father, like many others, went to work when they came to America. And they were told on Friday, if you don't come Saturday, don't come on Monday. And my father had nothing to eat, believe me. But he wouldn't think of being Machal of Shabbos. And he did come on Shabbos. And when he came on Monday, you know what was waiting for him? The pink slip. And he came home that day. It was a Yom Tov. He was in joy. He says, look what I got. I got Noi Sukkah. I can't wait for Sukkahs. I'm going to hang it up in the wall. I got a pink slip. And he tells his grandchildren, that was my father's Sukkah. There were pink slips all over the wall. That's Simchas HaNefesh. That's the secret of Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Takes such an incredible sacrifice of giving up the food from your mouth, and he makes it into an emblem, into a prize. The strongest force that nothing could stop is when someone knows what he's doing is important. When someone comes home at night drained, overworked, and the last thing on his mind is to go out and learn. Physically, emotionally, it might be impossible. But all he has to do is tap into that strength of Simchas HaTorah. All he has to do is think for one moment. Yikarim epininim. B'cholcha fatzecho la yishuva. That black gemara, that pasuk chumash, has nothing that compares to it. Try to put yourself back a few thousand years. And you need something. You need a bracha, a shidduch, a refuah. You think, I have the idea. I'm going to go to the Kohen Gadol right before Yom Kippur. I'm going to slip him my name. And I'm going to ask him when you get to Lefnai Lefim, have me in mind. Please, I need it desperately. Imagine. Holiest person, the holiest time, the holiest place. What's better than that moment, right? Is there anything better than that moment? Says the Gemara Moed Katan, yes, there is something greater than a claim. God, my nechus of Nayu Lufnim, Yikarim, Epininim. Torah is more precious than claim God, Hanichnes Lufnayu Lufnim. When someone lives with that appreciation, it's not a challenge. It's not a struggle. It's a privilege. When do we think this way? You know, Rav Schwab, Zecher Levracha, said he was by the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim is talking about the Mon. The Mon, like, as we know, had all the time, had every taste in the world. You wanted to experience meat, it tastes like meat. You wanted to experience fish, it tastes like fish. And the Chafetz Chaim paused and said, "Und was ze betracht nicht?" Let's say you eat it without thinking. What taste does it have? And he was quiet. They were quiet. He said, "Zot kein shum tamnit. There has no taste. Ey betracht nit, hot es kein shum tamnit." He said. And then he picked up his heilige fingers, the way Schwab described it. He said, and he kissed it. Ah! Than a black gemara. What's more gishmak than a black gemara? Ah, alatayim. Abegedenk, he said, oy metrach nisht, hot is kein shum tam nisht. If you don't think about the value of it, it has no taste. When do we stop and think what the black gemara means to us? When do we stop and think, Ilav Hayoima, if not for the Torah that we are privileged to feast our eyes upon? What would we be today? When do we have a little Simchas HaNefesh? And believe me, we would be much better people if we would. I once spoke, somebody's out of town, and I spoke about this theme of Simchas HaNefesh. And I spoke about Balei Tshuva, who are my heroes. I wish one day someone will say, I'm a Balei Tshuva. I'll be very honored. And I said, it's incredible how people give up everything. professions, careers, sometimes they get off spouses and they estrange from families, and they're reduced to beginners. How they struggle to learn a Pasuk Chumash, a Gemara. They come up to your 7-year-old child and says, what does this mean? Vav, Aleph, Saf. With two lines on the top. They have no clue. The kid goes, you don't know? Vim Taima, what do you don't know? He doesn't know. How do you know? Vav, Yud, Lamed. They don't know. V'yesh Loima. People from the top of the world, they decide to become from, and they're struggling with basics. And they don't get burnt out. Because every idea, every word is so cherished. After I finish, someone says, I take exception to what you said. I said, okay, you're not the first one. What's your problem? He says, I'm a Baal Tshuva. And it rubs me wrong. He kept on saying, they gave it all, they gave it all up. We didn't give up anything. We got it all. It's a modern day, Ba'iz Yavuzu Loi. Because that's human nature. If you know what you're getting, then even if you're struggling with the Vim Taimas and the Vim Shloimas, you got it all. Then I understood. That's Chanu Gemar Chaviga. If a person can't learn, then he won't learn. What is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is talking about someone that says, I can't learn, which really means, I don't want to learn. Right? You ask your child, take out the garbage. He goes, I can't. Why can't you? You don't want to, right? But he has to learn, and he learns. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo is crying, Yi Taira, how could you say those words, E Efsha? If you said E Efsha to learn, that means you lost perspective. That means you lost sight, and you forgot that even though Nadim Yigamra, Noyim, Uvaraygis Sveim, but the reason why we're still here today is, Uminoifes Sufayach Tamid Mishtashim. You could say the words E Efsha, you're missing Simchas HaTorah. And you're in trouble. Because a Yid that appreciates the Vim Taima and the Vim Shloima, he didn't give it all up, he's getting it all. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo is crying, how could a Yid ever think? It's too hard. And Rabbi say, there is something more important than learning Torah. And that's called Simchas HaTorah. Because when someone has his priorities right, when someone has his perspective that's tuned in, and that's focused, and he knows that matter, the whole day he's making a living, but his kviz itim at night, he's living. That kihem chayenu ve'orach yameinu, literally. Then there's nothing that's too hard. If someone has a simchas hanefesh in learning, he won't have the difficulties. And that's pshat in the Gemara and Pesachim. There is something greater than learning on Shavuos, and that is simchas haTorah. Like Rashi explains, why do you have to have a suda on Shavuos? Sheyismach bay b'maychal uv'mishpa mishta. On Shavuos, we have to be mekabel Simchas HaTorah. Because when we have that Simchas HaTorah, then on a hot summer day, or on a dark cold winter day, or on a sluggish, worn out night after a hard day's work, we'll look at it and we'll say, a klein carbon for Sagrois HaTorah. It's a small price to pay for such a magnificent Torah. Chazal understood that Shavuos of all Yamim Tovim, there has to be a Simchas HaTorah. Shavuos has to be a day or 2 days of a continuous experience of Oysa Gutz and Zayin Ayid. Shavuos is a time Medaf trachten asahot alle taimen. And that's why Shavuos of all Yom Tovim, there has to be a lachem. Because Shavuos is preparing for another year of Kabbalah HaTorah. when someone asked me, what's a woman's role in Shavuos? And I hope these words will reach whom it's attended to. Men go to learn, but they have something. What do? Women, we wash dishes, we make the cheesecake. I told him a story I heard from my uncle, Reb Nissim Wolpin, who heard this from the Panovich Rebbetzin, the Rebbetzin of the Panovich Rav Zecharno Livracha. My uncle made a shidduch with Rav Schlesinger from Kol Torah Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And the Panovich Rebbetzin was still alive at the time, and she was by the Simcha. And she wanted him to know about who the Mechutanim were. She told him a story that she remembers. They were living still in Panovich. It was a backwood city in Litta. And they had a kailum, which in those days was very rare, very unusual. And one of the younger lads was Michiel Michel Schlesinger, the founder of Kol Torah. He came from a German family, which weren't really oriented in kailum, and it was a chiddush, but he was one of the younger lads. But the real surprise was his wife came from a very wealthy, aristocratic family, and she moved from Germany to this backwood city, Panovich. And Panovich was very touched by that mysterious nefesh of a young girl. One night he comes to the Beis Medrash, it was late at night, and he sees this, what he called the Frau Schlesinger, was walking around, back and forth, pacing outside of the Beis Medrash. And he was worried. He goes, is everything all right? She goes, yeah. I have an appointment to spazier, to go for a walk with my husband. So the Rav says, oh, you mean he's late? I'll go call him. He goes, no. Ich spazier mit sein Kol Torah. I'm walking, enjoying his Kol Torah. And the Rav was moved beyond words. A young girl from Germany. That's her sug in life. Her greatest pleasure is walk back and forth and hear him learn. And his mama, she was speechless. And he says, "Ich gebe euch a birches, I'm giving you a birches kayin. Your husband should grow in learning. And I ask you, I'm sure I'll be matzliach, and I'll open a yeshiva. Please name it Kol Torah, because there's a girl in this world who spazierts sich mit dem Mann's Kol Torah." And the rest, like they say, is history. He went there to Israel and he founded Kol Torah that's still flourishing today. A vital part of the secret of Netzach Yisrael or Yishaker is there are Nashim Tzidkaniyus that have that strength, that have that gevura, that at night they spazier sich with the husband's Kol Torah. That the greatest simcha is to watch their children and their husbands going to learn, or supporting learning, or being part in this magnificent Eitz Chaim that's called Torah. The Yom Tov of Shavuos for men and women is equal. It's not about learning. It's all about spazierin sich mit Kol Torah, appreciating the Kol Torah. It's all about minayfes sufayich tamid mishtashim. Rav Shach was once visited by one of the Reichman brothers. And Rav Shach was talking with him, and then Rav Shach said, I'm thinking, me and you, we both have a chelik in Torah, I teach, you support. I wonder who has a bigger olam haba, me or you? I teach, but you support. The pasuk says, smach, zulam, betzei secha, before you suffer. I wonder who has more olam haba. But one thing I know, he said, told Mr. Eichmann, I have a more olam haza. Because I'm learning. So Mr. Eichmann says, if I could argue with the Rosh Yeshiva, I have more olam haza. Because when I walk into Beis Medrash and see all those hundreds of bachrim learning because of my support, I am so overwhelmed with olam haza, greater than the Rosh Yeshivas. So Rav Shach got up and kissed him on the forehead and says, thank you for teaching me a new expression of Havas HaTorah. That a person can be so overjoyed in supporting Limud HaTorah. That's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Whether you're going to learn or whether you're washing the dishes. Whether you're learning Torah or whether you're supporting Torah. But the feeling, there's no greater joy in taking part of those Heilige Gewerte that were given at Sinai and continue to be giving to this very day. Shavuos is not about learning. Shavuos is about stopping and trachting that Torah has all the time, and any part I'm allowed to take part is my greatest joy. I also want to spazier mit in Kol Torah. That's Shavuos. She Yismach to show she noyach umekubel yoyim zel Yisrael. And allow me one more thought. Very, very close to my heart. I want to ask you a question that anybody that thinks about it will be intrigued by the question. A question that's not easily answered, I guarantee you. Was there ever a generation like today's that, to put it very simply, is just so easy to learn? That Torah is available to every level, to every person, to every background, in every language. Svarim in every language. There are tapes. A person could be in Hong Kong and he picks up a phone and he connects to Kol HaTorah Kula. He could have an iPod, Kol HaTorah Kula. Was there ever a time that every 7.5 years Klal Yisrael makes a Siyum HaShas? Incredible, no? Klal Yisrael are learning Shas. In every generation there are thousands of Balei Tshuva that are steiging and learning, but Balabatim that are devoting significant parts of the day and that are growing and learning. Was there ever a time when the Torah is so available and accessible and Koilim and Beis Yaakovs and Yeshivas? And how about the incredible chesed that we see in our time? I picked up recently, and it brought tears to my eyes, a gemach list. A list of various gemachs. Every imaginable and unimaginable thing that you need, they have there for you. I picked the mice and punched them. Where do you get such children that are so deeply involved in chesed? There's only one answer, and this is the honest truth. It's the words of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Ches. Mayasa Odom v'yenotzel michevli Mashiach. What should a person do when he finds himself at the end of time? Yasik b'toyer u'b'gemilas chasadim. I don't have to be Meirich. I think we all know, anybody that knows what's going on in this world, nationally, internationally, economically, financially, in every part of life around us, we live in very precarious times, very challenging times. A friend of mine told me, a non-Jewish business associate told him, the economic problems are so difficult that even we think the only hope is the Jewish Messiah. Can you imagine? Even Goyim are talking about Mashiach Zeiten. I think it's obvious that we're experiencing Chavli Mashiach. There's too many madmen that have buttons that could destroy the world. But what should a person do that he never learned? He never was exposed to Torah. Or he went to yeshiva, and like many others, he squandered the opportunity. Or he was another victim of Im Tazvenu Yoyim Yamayim Azveka. He lost his cheshik to learn. What's his salvation for this most important period of history? The Rebbein Shlom is an Avi Rachamon. The Rebbein Shlom, V'yidach Amenu Nidach. And the Rebbein Shlom says, Kindlech, I'm going to give you Torah on a silver platter. I'm going to give you Torah that a person could be yesterday running around with a ponytail. Today he could steig in learning. That someone yesterday that didn't have a shaykhus to learning could join up with a program and he could start learning and he'll get a time of learning and he'll finish shas every 7.5 years or he'll do whatever he wants. I'll give you Torah on a silver platter. I'll give you opportunities of chesed on a silver platter. The world we live in, Rabbi Yisai, is on fire. It's on fire of Yasek B'Torah. Unparalleled, unprecedented in history. And if there's any thought that has to fill our minds every day, particularly on Erev Shavuos, am I doing enough in Yasik V'Torah? Am I taking part enough in spatzering with this magnificent Kol Torah that's so easily available? In the era of Yasik V'Torah, am I tapping in enough to that enormous strength of Siyata D'Shmaya that never was in history? It's all up to us. Shem Zalma once asked, Kabbalah Satorah, the Yontif of Shu is the most elusive Yontif. There's no mention in the Torah when the Torah was given. The Torah speaks about Atzeres, Shavuos, but doesn't say about Kabbalah Satorah. And when is the Torah was given? We celebrate on the 6th of Nisivan, but the Magen Avraham says we only should be the 7th of Sivan. The greatest Yontif is so clouded in mystery, we can't even put our finger on it. Why should that be so? Says Avshalom Zalman, because that's exactly the way the Avishta wanted it to be like that. That Kabbalah Satorah had nothing to do with Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan. Kabbalah Satorah is whenever you makabal the Torah. He quotes both a Babli and a Rishalmi. That Torah is given whenever you're willing to accept it. It could be in Vav Av, it could be in Vav Teshvin, whenever you open your heart and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want a little more of it. I want to be a Yasik V'Torah person. Every day we say the bracha of Noisein HaTorah. It's a constant experience, it's not a thing of the past, Nosan HaTorah. And every day we daven V'Harevno. I think those words should be the most important words of our day. Ribbono Shel Olam, I also want to have Simchas HaNefesh. I also want to have this experience of Torah, Ki Hem Chayenu. You know what the words V'Harevno are supposed to mean? I'll tell you. Imagine you meet an old friend, and you're shocked. He's walking with patches on his eyes, and he's walking with a stick. He became blind. He says, what's the matter? He goes, nothing. He goes, what do you mean nothing? Why are you walking with the patches? He goes, I'm okay. So why are you wearing those patches? Because my eyes hurt, I just covered them. Do you go to a doctor? No, what for? I'm alive, I can walk, I can hear, good enough. He goes, are you crazy? There's a magnificent world out there. There's a sunshine, there's a sunset, there are trees. Fix your eyes and experience the world. There's a world of Simchas HaTorah. There's a world that the average person, that a simple balabas, will give his life for the word Torah. And if we don't have that feeling, that's a desperate state of emergency. And every day we implore the Ribbono Shel Olam, Baharev no Hashem Aleikenu. I want to pardon it. I want to pardon Simchas HaTorah. I want to experience Simchas HaNefesh. I want to feel Minayfes Sufayich Tomit Mishtashim. I don't usually talk this way, but I'll make an exception tonight. I guarantee each and every one of you, if we're makabel, starting tomorrow, to say the words V'Harevno, every day a little slower, with a little more motion, we'll become better people. To say, Tuchasidim and Simon Kufel, Amit Ches writes, when someone asks for Ruchnius, and he means it, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives it to him. Maybe that's an idea for Erev Shavuos. To every day say the words V'Harevno and really mean it. Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to have Simchas HaNefesh. I don't want it to be Mesiras Nefesh. I want to experience Simchas HaNefesh. And maybe if I could humbly suggest, maybe we could increase a little bit the Yasik V'Torah. You know, the story of Rus is all about one decision. Rus and Orpah were sisters in the same situation. And the going went difficult. And Naomi says, go home. And Orpah goes home. And Rus was adamant. She made a decision, I want to be good. And look what happened. She became the mother of Malchus Beis David. The lesson of Rus on Shavuos is, a person makes a Kabbalah, a commitment, a decision, a resolution. And changes himself forever. Maybe that's a good idea in Erev Shavuos. I want to work on Simchas HaTorah. To say Vaharavna every day with a little more emotion. V'nismach v'divrei sound v'toresech, we say in Ma'ariv, to really mean it. And more importantly, Yasik v'toresech. A little more Torah, a little another seder, another few minutes, another connection to Torah. And if you think it's too hard, look around the world around us. The thousands of eloquent testimonies that are breathing and inhaling the avir of Yasik v'toresech. Let me just be messiahing with what I heard from an old yid, he's not here any longer. He learned by the Chafetz Chaim. He used to come to our shir. And I once asked him, please tell me something from the Chafetz Chaim. He says, there's too much to tell you. He says, tell me one thing. He says, I'll tell you a kleinigkeit. He says, when he came to Radni Yeshiva, a few weeks after he arrived, he got a telegram that his cousin, a girl cousin, was very sick. Go into the Chafetz Chaim and get a bracha. He had to wait till he got into the Chafetz Chaim. And suddenly he was thrust into the Chafetz Chaim's room. And he was a young boy. And he was overtaken with fear. He couldn't open his mouth. And the Chafetz Chaim was waiting. And he got worse and worse. He just mamish. He couldn't talk. Chafetz Chaim is waiting. And he's getting more clamped in. So this is what he told me. I'll quote the words. Chafetz Chaim looked at me and said, "Ihr seid doch von unserer. You're one of our boys. You yourself know what the biggest brach is. Seid moise ba seida, a seida, und sie da tabana fushalema." So he turned around, he walked out, and he almost passed out. He didn't say a word about zee and fushalema. So I told him, you know, to me what the moifis is, not the Chavetz Chaim's Ruach HaKodesh, that we know he had. But the way he touched up a yid's outlook in life, the greatest bracha is like Moisef Aseda. We know ourselves the greatest bracha in these trying times is Yasek B'Torah. And it's all around us. This Yait Shmai is there. The Vaharavna is waiting for us. Kabbalah HaTorah is right now and tomorrow and a whole year if we let it into our hearts, if we open our hearts. The Rebbeinu Shem should give us the Arevis in Torah. To be focused on Yasik B'Torah until we zeichet to see the ultimate Melech Mashiach from Herev Yemenu. Amen. Thank you very much.
Come to you.